This is the Be Memorable podcast. My name's Ty Erickson. I'll be your host. We'll be talking to the best of the best on how to be different, be unique, stand out from the crowd, and overall be memorable. I'm happy to have Rob Wellman, the CEO of Social Five, on today. Rob and his business, Social Five, help over 10,000 different businesses across 420 industries in 11 countries with their social media. With their powerful technology and their team of gurus, they do it all for businesses so they can affordably stand out in the crowd. Their client list is impressive, and they have a leading affiliate partner program, which is really cool. So let's go ahead and get Rob on. Rob, welcome on. Thanks for taking time to join us today and add some value through your expertise.
Hey, my pleasure, Ty. Great to join you today.
Yeah, well, we're talking about something super relevant and something that you're an expert in and something that you do on a daily basis, and that's social media. So we'll jump right into it. I've got some good questions for you, and then any other value that you can add to us and our audience, we're super appreciative of it. The first question that came off the top of my mind that I wanted to ask you, because our clients are everything from small businesses to large. But what, you know, we may have some people that are listening that aren't even on social media or maybe that don't even have a presence. And there's probably a lot of people that are wondering whether they should be on social media or what they should or shouldn't be doing. So What businesses, or what would you recommend if somebody's in business, what businesses should be on social media?
You know, it's a great question. I will tell you, Ty, that social media is one of the great tsunamis sweeping our globe, and it's changing everything. It's changing, you know, politics, we know for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's changing religion. It's changing businesses that are B2B, businesses that are B2C. And I think what you'll notice is that the large companies have already pivoted away from traditional advertising strategies like television and radio and newspaper.
True.
Newspapers are imploding everywhere. So just from the high level, I would tell you that the big brands are already making the change. In fact, I thought it was interesting. Nike indicated they would no longer spend $3 million for a 30-second Super Bowl commercial because they're doing it every day online. So the big brands have already shifted. But really, if you think about it, social media is the great equalizer for small businesses.
Yes.
They're the ones that ought to take advantage of it to look like the big boys. So it doesn't really matter if you're B2B or B2C. You have to approach it differently. But I can't think of a single business that should not harness at least some portion of the social media world.
So true. I mean, that really levels the playing field because they, you know, other than budget, they both have the same ability to reach out to the world through social media. So that's a good point. But I didn't realize that there was such a big shift that, yeah, people were pulling out of even the traditional media. But it makes sense. Right when you said that, I was thinking in the back of my mind that while people are watching the Super Bowl, they probably have their phones open and on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, checking stuff out there while they're watching the game, you know.
Well, it's true. And today, a small business just starting, if they do social media well and their web presence well, their online reputation, they instantly look credible and like the big boys. So a small business, if anybody should be taking advantage of it, it's the small business owners.
True. So there, it's weird because I think a lot of us or people that are already on social media are like, well, that, you know, that's a given and they understand it. But there's, you know, and you would know better than anybody, but there's a lot of businesses out there that probably still don't have a presence or an appropriate presence on there because it probably seems daunting or overwhelming. And if they are listening to this and they're saying, yeah, I don't really have the social media presence, I'm not that aware of it. How do you recommend when you talk to those smaller businesses, how do you recommend how they get started or what do they do to start?
Well, there's three things that any business should consider. One is their social media content.
Mm-hmm.
The second is social advertising. It's the most cost-effective advertising ever.
Okay.
And the third is their online reputation. So, Ty, let me talk first about an online reputation.
Yes.
If I am a brick-and-mortar business, I should absolutely get listed in over 130 online directories. And when I say directories, I'm talking about Google, Bing, Yahoo, TripAdvisor, Honda in-car navigation, your Siri iPhone, your Android. So that is the first thing, because if someone's trying to find you and you're not properly listed, it's difficult for them to find you. So your online reputation, being linked in the listed in the online directories, and then making sure you have customer reviews. It's very, very important to have consistent positive reviews, because the search engines really look for how are your customers ranking you. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that's a great point. And it's also, some of these smaller businesses may not have even a typical website set up as well. So that's probably a good point as a kind of a landing spot as well, right? If they don't have the proper web presence on top of that.
Yeah, you certainly want a web presence. Yeah. I will tell you that many businesses today, we don't necessarily recommend this, but many businesses are opting to use Facebook as their website.
Yes.
But I don't recommend that. Yeah. I think you need to have a website. But remember, it's an online brochure. Once you get it right, it's okay. But make sure you have a blog on your website, because the search engines see movement. And when you have blogs flowing into your website, then you've accomplished everything you need to with your website.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's a great point. What about, so once they've determined they want to be on and they kind of know a starting point, how do they know what channels to be on? I mean, there's so many different options, especially if you don't know what you're doing. There is a lot of options. There's some that are more relevant. We all know about Facebook, and, you know, some people are familiar with LinkedIn if you're in business. And there's still new stuff coming out. I mean, I've noticed Parler starting to get a little bit of traction. I don't know enough about that yet, whether it's just strictly political or what. But what social channels should people be focusing on right now as if they're getting started?
You're right, Ty. There are a lot of options out there, but there's a few that really matter.
Yeah.
And let me describe it this way. Facebook has almost 3 billion active users. So any business ought to be on Facebook, whether you're B2B or B2C.
And that's 3 billion with a B, right?
3 billion with a B. The other one that's really important, the number 2 used social media network by business to business marketeers is Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitter's, you know, one of the top 4.
Yes.
The other one is LinkedIn, especially if you're B2B. It's the largest professional network online. It's built for business to business. But even if you're a B2C company, you got to have LinkedIn. So in summary, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram are the top 4. Now, Instagram is more visual. It's not necessarily for everyone, but that's the up and comer.
Yeah.
So those are the top 4 and the most important. And I got to tell you this, Ty.
Yeah.
Email is the most pervasive social media platform still today.
Really?
183 billion emails sent on a daily basis.
Oh,
so
word.
Don't think of email as not social media. It's the most social platform today. And so anything a customer does ought to include Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, maybe Instagram, and an email strategy.
Yes. Okay. That's good to know, because, yeah, as things continue to progress, you know, it seems like we went from mail to email, and people may be wondering at this point of, do I abandon email? And that's great advice. I mean, that's something that I learned as well. Now you've given me work to do today. I got to go back and revisit my email strategy.
Well, let me give you a tip for this too.
Yeah.
Once a month is the right frequency for sending emails to your current clients. And make sure it goes to your employees.
Okay.
The first audience you ought to think about when doing social media is your current employees. And then you think of your current customers. And then you think of new customers third. But on an email, once a month is the right frequency.
Okay.
And then remember, that a monolithic email or newsletter is just old school. Think of it like a newspaper. When you look at a newspaper, you see a headline, and if it interests you, you read it.
Yes.
So your email ought to be the same way. It'll have a teaser, some good graphic imagery, and then if someone wants to read more, they click and brings them to your blog on your website. That's how you use email. You send out a monthly email, headliner, click about the blog, and that brings them into your web presence to gather more information. And if that doesn't interest them, well, they just don't read it, and that's okay.
Right. That's a great point. So that's a little bit of an introductory on having a little bit of strategy on email. What about also on social media? What, you know, again, they get on, they kind of decide the formats. What is their next step? I mean, what should they be focused on once they get in to start getting their feet wet? Is it at that point, is it content? Is it just starting to post, or what's kind of that progression?
Well, the number one mistake that people make when turning on a social media channel is the graphics. So think of it this way. You wouldn't go to a restaurant until they had painted the walls, all the signage was up, it was the decor was put together. They wouldn't even open the restaurant for business.
Yes.
Well, why turn on a social channel without putting the decor in place? And so two things that you ought to do to start with. It ought to have a really good graphic image.
Okay.
And the profile picture is very important. That's a little round, usually on the left-hand side of Facebook. And that profile picture is very important because anytime you send, you put in a Facebook post, that profile picture is associated with it. So sometimes you can't even tell what it is. So think of your logo, making it really crisp and sharp. That ought to be the profile. So the first thing, Ty, is getting the aesthetics right when you set it up. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is your content. And let me give some advice here that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Only 40% of your content should be about your business, your product or service.
Okay.
And the way to think about it is if you were walking into a room, meeting people for the first time, and you just begin talking about yourself, for the first few minutes, people would say, oh, interesting new person. I'm enamored. That's cool.
Right.
But imagine that that goes on for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, right?
Right.
That person's going to find a polite way to leave.
Yeah. True.
Well, it's no different on your social channels. If all you do is talk about yourself, then people are going to get annoyed and leave. So 40% about you, your products and service, and 60% perhaps about your industry.
Yes.
Educational, humor, maybe a little bit of holiday, maybe some fun facts, motivational posts, maybe some sporting or pop culture or, you know, outdoor living. So there's different things that you twist in there to make it interesting. So that's the breakout of content. As far as frequency, 3 to 5 times a week on Facebook is the appropriate frequency. You could do a little more on Twitter, maybe once a day.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, 3 to 5 times a week. Blog twice a month.
Okay.
Email once a month.
That's awesome. I mean, that's huge information for somebody that's looking to set up a strategy. That really simplifies it. I mean, obviously there's plenty that needs to be done there, but it does simplify what needs to be done. So I appreciate you sharing that. What about as far as spending time? I get people always asking me too. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time on LinkedIn because, you know, I spend my world is in the B2B world. And I always get the question, well, how much time do you spend a day? Like, as far as surfing the feed and commenting and engaging, is there any ground rule there that you or advice that you'd give to somebody of how much time in a day they should be spending on social media for their business?
Yes, I'd go back to the frequency.
Yeah.
Three posts on Facebook.
Okay.
4 or 5 on Twitter. A couple of blog articles, monthly email. So if you're hitting that frequency, that's appropriate. So whatever time it takes, that's what you have to evaluate. Now, what I would say for entrepreneurs and small businesses, good entrepreneurs and good business owners outsource key functions of their business, like accounting.
Yes.
Or like IT, or like HR, or like legal. Social media can be considered the same way. There's professional organizations that can do it far more cost effectively than you can do it yourself. And these organizations will have armies of people, not just one person.
Yes.
Social5 being one of those. And so, 84% of businesses that see what we do, they sign up because it's so much more cost effective to have professional writers, professional graphic people, professional advertisers versus doing it. And the way I think of it is, if you're a dentist, the only way you really make money is when you're in the chair working with your clients.
So correct.
We need to figure out what our economic model is and use our time wisely there. Does
great
that make
point.
Sense?
Yep. Great point. Great point. Yeah. Especially, like you said, it depends on the size of your business. Now, is there a point where, not necessarily that it doesn't make sense, but is it advantageous? And I see it as advantageous because there's people, like you said, that specialize in doing social media that deal with this every single day. But what is that point where somebody's trying to gauge whether or not to do it in-house? I mean, is there any insight there on what they should be doing if they can't determine that? Or maybe they're too small and they've already got somebody in-house? Or what's that balance?
Well, think about Nike. They've got an army of marketeers, right? Mm-hmm. And when television's hot, they're all focused on television. Now they've all pivoted. In fact, it's interesting. Nike has a new building on campus called the Jerry Rice Building. And it is 100% dedicated to social media marketing.
Wow.
You're not gonna find Nike outsourcing. They've got tons of people, right? But if you go down to the local business, think of it this way. 80% of businesses in America have less than 9 employees.
Mm. Wow.
And if I were in that category, I would absolutely look to outsource. Now, as you grow and you get upstream and you maybe add a chief marketing officer and other people, then you might start to add those resources. But even then, and I'll describe it this way, Ty, we have a service that's $500 a month.
Okay.
That creates 3 posts a week on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
your Twitter tweets, your LinkedIn posts, 2 blog articles a month, your monthly email marketing, and we run contests where we give away trips to Disneyland and Cozumel snorkeling and big screen TVs for $500 a month.
Wow.
So think of $6,000 a year. Who could you hire for $6,000 a year?
Yeah, not going to happen, especially in today's day and age.
And you're going to get writers from me that have worked for USA Today or major publications. They're not interns and they're not out of a foreign country. So for most small businesses, $6,000 a year, I mean, you can't hire your kids for that. So that's why it makes sense to outsource in many of those situations.
Okay. That's great insight. And like you said, there really isn't a business that I could think of from, start to whatever that couldn't afford that. And so, and it's the flip side. I mean, you couldn't afford not to do it, essentially, not have a presence, especially if you don't know what you're doing,
Yes.
What about, I always say that I learn more from what not to do. What are some things maybe that you're seeing that people should not be doing on social media?
Well, I'll reemphasize one thing I talked about, and that is don't talk about yourself the whole time. Verizon just won an award. I just laughed at this. For the worst execution of a social media strategy. And why is that?
Yikes.
All they did is post pictures of their new phone. Here's this new phone. Here's this new phone. Here's this. And it's just me. So, that's what you don't want to do. Some people worry, well, hey, what if I do a video and it's not professional? Social media is built for, authentic communication. And so you can do a video off your iPhone of your office, and that's fine, or one of your customers. And you know what? If you made a spelling error once in a while, it's not the end of the earth. So I would say the most important thing is balance what you talk about your business and service and other things. You got to appeal to a bigger audience and not just talk about yourself the whole time. And a lot of people will say, well, the only thing I want on social media is I want them to click on my social media and call me. Well, that's okay. But if that's all you do, you will annoy people, you'll turn it off, and your social media thing will fall flat.
Right, right. And it's such an opt-in, opt-out. It's too easy to opt-in, opt-out. Yeah, so you do have to keep them captivated and wanting to continue to engage with you. What about, I've got next here to ask you, how can people stand out? I mean, what is it that when they're looking at maybe two brands or two businesses that are similar, is there anything that you, any advice you could give to somebody to help them stand out a little bit more on social media?
Yes. Images are the most popular type of content on social media. You tend to think of videos. Okay. Videos are great, but they're expensive. I mean, you can't really do three professional videos every week, right? So one of the things that really stands out is imagery, less text.
Okay.
So funny imagery, that catches people's eyes and it pulls people in. And then a click to read more. So that's one of the ways you stand out. Don't do a lot of text. Don't make it busy. Some people do these charts where there's so much stuff and it's in this small post. Well, people just scroll past that. So a captivating image with links to learn more or to find out more are the best way to stand out in the crowd. But let me tell you what else, and this is important.
Yes.
These social platforms are businesses. They're public companies, and they have a monetary strategy. So if you boost your content, you're going to stand out. So think of it this way. For $50 a month, spread across some of your posts, you can ensure that your content is viewed by 3,000 people. For $50.
Wow, that's powerful.
So when you say, I want to stand out, well, hey, pay me a little bit of money and I'll help you stand out. That's what the social platform's saying to you. So boosting or amplifying your content is one of the ways that it stands out. I put an ad on a local site here in Salt Lake called KSL, and they offered me for a few extra bucks to boost that and have it stand out from all the other ads. And so I did it.
Yeah.
But it's the same way on social media. If you pay Facebook, if you pay LinkedIn, you pay Twitter, they will amplify your content and make sure it's seen more than somebody else's, even if they're created the same way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Totally makes sense. Makes a ton of sense. Is there anything else other than posting and amplifying those posts that people should be aware of?
I think it's important to just note that these social platforms are built for mobile. There are more people accessing the internet via a mobile device than a desktop device. In fact, there are actually more phone subscribers than people in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, think about that, Ty. A lot of people have iPad.
I don't know if that's scary or what it is, but yeah, I didn't know that.
So everything is being driven by mobile. And what you have to know is that this is getting stronger, not weaker. And the young connected generation, they really care about your personality, and they often go to your social channels before they even look at your website. So think in it, when you're thinking about social media and starting to attract the young connected generation, know that it's on mobile and that you've got to be there. And one of the other things to think about is that this young connected generation really cares about causes. So if you are a company, that gives a portion of your revenue to child trafficking or the Leukemia yes. Association or something, it will really help you with the particular audiences and you'll stand out. So think about now my content, isn't it just about my product or service, but I'm talking about how I'm trying to affect child trafficking or
yes.
autism or, you know, the deaf community. So having a cause intertwined into your social media strategy is something that all businesses ought to take a really hard look at.
That's a great point. Yeah. And not only that, ways that I'm sure you can, like you said, work it into your social media, but also work it into just your overall purpose and what you're trying to accomplish as a business.
Having a social responsible business strategy tied to a cause, those businesses are standing out like a sore thumb.
Gotcha. Now, what about, not to jump around, but going back to the social media ads, is that something you guys even recommend that people try to do on their own? I know it's super easy for people to even spend a lot of money and even get exposure, but not necessarily get what they're looking for. Once people, again, we've kind of gone through this progression of posting and ways to post, and then they decide to promote. I mean, is there any other tips you can give people there that they need to know when they're placing ads? I mean, I know because it's easy to spend money. It's easy to maybe figure that out and how to run those. But is there more to it than just spending money and clicking promote, you know?
There really is, Ty. And this is where it gets magical. Think about it this way. If I put up a billboard, I have no idea really the impact.
Right.
Social media, the beauty of it is it's digital and measurable. So when doing social, first of all, there's no better way to advertise any business than social media.
Yes.
And I'll quantify it. If you spend $200 a month, say on Facebook, and by mm-hmm. the way, since Facebook yeah. owns Instagram, you're going to hit both Facebook and Instagram with that ad.
Yes.
$200 a month, you should be able to hit 10,000 people in the defined wow. target audience that you're going after, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But here's what's important. You would never run a television ad with a poor video. You wouldn't put up a billboard sure. that wasn't cleverly designed. That's also
right.
true for social media. The ad matters. The design matters. The ratio of pixels to images, wording, where it is on the left-hand side or the right-hand side. Experts know how to do that. And the benefit then of having an expert do it is they can get a greater return for the dollar spent. So you can do it yourself, but you better know what you're
yes.
doing on the ad creative. And you also need to know how to do it. Because think of it, if you go run a television ad, they'll say, oh yeah, no problem. For that amount, we'll put you at 3 a.m. on Tuesday evening.
Right.
It's not that different on social media. You have to know the tricks. And so having somebody that's done it or that could advise you is wise. And I'll quantify it this way. Social5 yeah. charges people $250 a month to create 3 ads, to run them, and to run the analytics. And then you choose how much you
wow.
want to spend. And I recommend starting with a couple $100. So
$450, yeah.
you'll have expert ad designers who know what they're doing, can run your ad. I would say, why not do that? $250,
yeah.
you'll waste more money trying to figure it out than having an expert do it for $250.
Correct. And even if you get views, that doesn't mean that you get production or productivity or that you're able to get what you want out of it. I mean, it's easy to put yourself out there, just like you're saying with the billboard, but what's coming from it is the most important part to me.
It is, Ty. And you know, think about it. These social channels know more about us than we want them to. They know our age.
Oh, no doubt.
They know our interests. They know our social economic status. They know our psychographics and demographics. So not only creating the right ad, but targeting the right demographics and multiple demographics ensures success and lack of wasted money. And having an organization like Social5 do that is very valuable. And then we look at the analytics. You might think we ought to say this, but the analytics tell us something otherwise, and we can tweak and adjust. And you can always add more money to the spend as you see success.
Yeah. That's super valuable. And just again, a lot of this stuff, I always say, it seems like common sense, but it's not necessarily common knowledge. And it seems simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And that's obviously why you do what you do and why Social5's been so successful. As we kind of progress this and people are like, okay, you know, maybe they've had some confusion at some point, or, oh man, this is overwhelming, or what's a good resource, or how can people connect with Social5 to learn more? Because I know you guys are, you know, kind of a one-stop shop, great resource, A to Z. There's nothing in this conversation, at least that I know of, that you guys don't handle, that you can't help with. What is a good resource for them to maybe take that next step if they need help, or if they want to find out more information about Social5, or just help with social media in general? Can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, here's the suggestion I'd make to the listeners today, Ty. Before we ever take on a client, we do a comprehensive online and social media assessment. It takes us hours to do this. We look at their online directories. We look at their reviews. How many reviews they have? Are they good? Are they bad? Are they placed on Google, Yelp, Bing, or nowhere to be found? We look, do they have a blog on their website? Are their social channels placed in the right place on their website? We look at their social channels. We look at their graphics. We look at their frequency. We look at their strategy. We look at their ads. We look at everything. And we run a comprehensive social media assessment, and we do that for free. So one of the things the listeners could do is they could go to social5.com and request a free social media assessment. Whether they ever work with us or not, they're going to get an unbiased, objective view of their business, which is unbelievably valuable. So if I were a business, I would at least want to know that. That's what I would tell them to start. And then what we
find, bare minimum, get somebody else's take on it and what they're doing. Yeah.
And this assessment will have links to everything so you can investigate. It'll have ratings compared to other businesses that we see. It's really, really valuable. It takes us literally hours to do that. And one of the reasons we do that is if a business is doing a fantastic job and we can't help them, we'll just tell them that. But most of the time we can say, hey, you're doing a really good job over here, but boy, are you socially awkward over here. So that's what I would recommend. And then, by the way, to answer your specific question, included with our services, we give people a subscription to our online university, which has videos and tutorials and training about everything to provide additional education. So that's what I would recommend. I'm sure there's at least some place we could help them very affordably and provide, you know, ongoing education through our university. So I think I would suggest people go to social5.com, ask for an assessment, and if nothing else, that'll be valuable for them.
Yeah, that's huge. And to have access to that university as well, I mean, that alone is a huge tool for somebody to refer back to and have just one place to go to get some insight there. What about, so switching gears, last but not least, a question I've got for you. What does, you know, most people are going to be business owners or in the marketing sales sector of their business. What does Social5 do to be memorable, to stand out from your competition? Can you give us some insight on how you guys grow and be memorable with your clients, or how you go out and when you're talking to a new client or grasping a new client?
Yes, let me tell you three specific things. First of all, We do for ourselves exactly what we do for clients. The frequency of content, the blog articles, the monthly email, the social advertising, the online reviews, we do that for ourselves. That is what matters. Here's a couple of things that we do that are unique.
Yeah.
And we provide this to our clients in our services. Business cards are old school. If you give somebody a business card, as you know, Ty, they put it in the drawer and rarely do anything with it. We do not use business cards, and we do not recommend that our clients use business cards. What we do is we provide them a business hub that can be an icon on their smartphone. And so when they meet someone, they simply enter that person's email address and hit join. What happens then, instantly, that person receives an introductory email with all of your contact information, your social channel links, and you've started a dialogue that's so much better than a business card. And now you've entered them into your monthly email marketing strategy. And I'll tell you, 32% of all of our new business comes from our email.
Wow. So is this something, is that a practice that you help other businesses with as well as part of your services at all?
Yes, it's included with our service. It's one of the most powerful things we do. And we recommend that on your website, you also have join my email list.
Yeah.
Right? Because email is a push strategy. And what happens, think of your insurance agent. He talks to you once a year when he's wanting to renew your insurance.
Right.
The rest of the year, there's no communication. Well, why not have it on the email that says, hey, it's winter time. It's time to unplug the hose so you don't freeze the pipes. Or it's springtime. Here's the right perennials for your house. So having a monthly email marketing, what happens is people see our emails. And after a few months, they say, you know what? That's really interesting. Why don't we talk?
Yeah.
And let me tell you the third thing we do. We make it fun. It's not sell, sell, sell all the time. In fact, I noticed we did an email in April that there's all these stupid holidays, but at the end of April, there's Kiss Your Mate Day. And so our email for that month was a big picture of some lips all, you know, lipsticked up with some red, and it said,
right,
Kiss Your Mate Day, 5 tips for success. And click on it, and it comes to this, you know, blog article. Hey, brush your teeth, you know, don't go nose to nose, have a breath mint, you know, a few funny things. And the amount of reaction that we got to that was remarkable. And so what I'm trying to say is make it fun.
Yeah.
Make it memorable.
That's
make
awesome.
It interesting. And professionals that know how to write and create a little bit of humor. Most businesses, they say, I'm going to do my own social media. And then after 6 weeks, they've run out of good ideas.
It's true. That's very true. That it is not easy to come up with, you know, three to five fresh ideas every single week. So to have people that do that for a living, and not only that, I've always said people that are able to collaborate and they live in a free space in that world where they're able to bounce off of each other and collaborate, they're always coming up with fresh new ideas.
Yeah, and see with us, Ty, they don't just get one writer. They get multiple writers that have expertise in different areas. You know, one of them is going to understand their industry and their space. They have to be able to write for them effectively.
Yes.
But then you got to intertwine other people. And so that's the challenge. And that's why we say, hey, for $6,000 a year, you get an army of people with expertise in lots of different areas. Is it really worth trying to do that yourself?
Yeah. And if you can, you know, especially when we're talking about small businesses, if you're talking about a plumber or a, you know, roofer or something, whatever it may be, they don't necessarily live in that creative world either. You know, it's almost daunting or overwhelming. It'd be like somebody asking me to go put on a roof. I mean, I don't think I could do it to save my life, you know? So that's a great point.
I think it's one of the great challenges tied to entrepreneurs is that they try to do too much, right? And they say, I'm just going to work more. Well, so then you look at it and say, you know what? I left my day job and I make a fraction of what I used to make and I work twice as much. And so smart business owners figure out how to scale. And it's not just social media, but who do I use for my accounting? Who do I use for this and that and the other thing? If you're doing your own social media long-term, it says something about your business. Because I can tell you, if I had to write my social media for our company instead of trying to be a CEO, and it would be disastrous, right? And we'd never make any money. So, you know, if you want to scale and be a good business, it's not just social media, it's everything. It's looking to outsource with trusted professionals in all kinds of disciplines. That's how we succeed as business owners.
No, that's such great advice, and especially coming from somebody that's been through it and done it and, you know, had that experience yourself and succeeded through it. That's great advice. Well, I appreciate your time, Rob. I appreciate your wisdom and sharing, you know, the value with our audience. I will make sure that I put the information that you've shared here, how to get a hold of Social Five, your link, and make sure they know how to get a hold of you from here. So I, again, really appreciate your time, and until next time.
Hey, thank you, Ty. Thanks to your audience for listening. And I will tell you what you guys do with these chocolates, these truffles. Think about that as part of your marketing strategy, right? Smart businesses twist in causes or other things. And The beautiful thing about chocolates is its taste, its smell, it's memorable. And we're seeing smart businesses that we've referred to you guys, Ty, plug in these truffles as part of their overall marketing strategy, and it makes a difference. So marketeers have got to think outside the box, and anytime you can incorporate touch, taste, smell, sound in the way you market, it's impactful. So we're glad to be a partner of you guys. We're glad to have your truffles. Our customers love them. And so you're doing a lot of things right as well, Ty.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the Be Memorable podcast. I hope you took a ton of value from this episode. If you don't mind, please leave us a review. That helps us get the show out there. It also allows us to add more value to others. Thanks again.